Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to coast, This Week in America. The Galena Nuclear Project, pursuing low-cost nuclear power in Bush, Alaska, by Marvin Yoder, is a narrative description of the efforts by a small, isolated Alaskan community to obtain a small module reactor, SMR, for power generation. Marvin spent 25 years working as an administrator manager in a number of local governments in the state of Alaska. Now, in that role, he was directly involved with municipal utilities, including water, wastewater, solid waste, and electricity. He spent 10 years as city manager of Galena, Alaska. In that capacity, he was tasked with taking the lead to investigate the pros and cons of Toshiba SMR that would produce 10 megakilowatts of electricity. He retired from Galena in 2006, but has followed the progress and the continued interest in SMRs. He's accepted a number of invitations to speak to various groups about this specific aspect of the nuclear industry. He currently lives in Palmer, Alaska, with his wife, Patsy. Marvin Yoder, author of the Galena Nuclear Project, Pursuing Low-Cost Energy in Bush, Alaska, is our guest on This Week in America. Coming to us over Skype. Marvin, welcome to the program. It's great to have you with us.
Thank you very much. I'm glad to be here.
This is a fascinating book, and let's go back and start with Galena and with the electrical power situation that Galena was faced with prior to this consideration for nuclear power. What was it like when this whole process began?
Well, Galena is a very small community, a Native Alaska community on the Yukon River. All of our diesel was brought in by the river. We're off the grid, off roads, 270 miles to Fairbanks. And so everything that we did had to be done in there. And bringing fuel down the river had to be done in the summertime because the river's frozen over in the winter. So we were bringing in 350,000 gallons of diesel every summer. And our cost to consumers was about 30 cents a kilowatt, which is probably three or four times what most people were paying at that time.
Now, it's interesting you mentioned that. If you've ever watched any of the programs, the TV shows, Ice Road Truckers, that type of thing, and you see what you go through and you don't realize this is not something you have access to, what, 12 months out of the year? It's a very limited window when you can get in supplies like that. A small nuclear power plant, what made you consider that? It's a fascinating story on how this whole concept came about. We think of nuclear power plants serving large areas. What made you consider that?
Well, you've always heard the statement that we're only 6 degrees separation. It turned out that in Galena, there's also a tribal government and a city government. And so the tribal government, a guy named Steve Havishell was working there. He later moved to Fairbanks. He got in contact with a law firm out of Washington, D.C. At that time, it was called Shaw Pittman. Shaw Pittman did a lot of nuclear power reactor licensing work, and so they were in contact with Toshiba, and somehow or another that all got connected, and we heard about what they called a nuclear battery, and so we decided to investigate and see what that was all about.
This is a fascinating story. Our guest on the program is Marvin Yoder, author of the book The Galena Nuclear Project, Pursuing Low-Cost Nuclear Power in Bush, Alaska. You'll find the book at pageturner.us in the bookstore. Also his website, which is the GalenaNuclearProject.com. Galena is G-A-L-E-N-A. Of course, you'll find all this information on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. What were your reactions when this whole concept came about? Did you have any previous experience working with this type of power generation?
No, I did not. And thinking about a nuclear battery, I didn't know what to expect. And so I started making phone calls and got in contact directly with the Shaw Pittman Law Group. And they had some very knowledgeable people. A number of their attorneys had actually worked on nuclear submarines, then got a degree in engineering for nuclear power before they got law degrees. And so they were very helpful and led me along and kind of explained to me what was going on here.
This is a very new concept for most people, certainly in that area of the country, the United States up in Alaska, the project far outside the normal power generation alternatives, at least that I recall the people discussing, especially in an area that small. What did you have to do in order to allow the community to discuss, evaluate the potential for this type of electrical generation? I'm sure at first you got a lot of raised eyebrows when you were talking about this.
Yes, and one of the good things was my city council was willing to look at anything. They knew we needed to do something about an alternative to the diesel generators if it's possible. And so this was an intriguing prospect. Toshiba and the law firm Shaw Pittman both flew to Galena in August of 2003 just to sit down and talk with us and kind of tell us what was going on. And then later on, we were still trying to get some information and wanted something more independent. The U.S. Department of Energy had a satellite office in Fairbanks. So I talked to them and they decided that they would help us evaluate this. And they put out an RFP and hired a firm, which also had three professors from the University of Alaska on board. And they produced a paper entitled Galena, Alaska Situational Analysis. It's still available through the University of Alaska. And it evaluated everything, solar, wind, natural gas, coal, the diesels, nuclear. And they went through a whole process of trying to decide what would be most feasible for Galena. So that was some good background we had.
What were some of the factors that convinced, I guess, you first of all, and then city council, that this could be a potential situation to the energy issues? I guess you can't convince city council or the population if you're not convinced yourself. What were some of the factors that that made you realize, you know, this could be a very viable alternative for us?
Well, Toshiba had named this the 4S for super safe, small, and secure. So the interesting thing about it was, been looking at what they had in mind, these modular reactors, which was a new concept that I had never known about before, but the modulars were able to be moved into the community and set up without any refueling on site. So everything would be sealed when it came in. At the end of the useful life, it would be taken out sealed, and so there was no radioactivity active material being exposed in Galena. We were able to get rid of that. Also, it was self-regulating, meaning that it didn't have to have a operator so much, and so there's no chance for operator error in a small community where you don't have a lot of expertise. And so it would regulate itself up and down, and if it overheated, it shut down. So there was a lot of safety features that we were interested in, and the fact that they had built it to last for 30 years and put it in once and it lasts for 30 years without really any major repairs on it, that was very attractive.
If you're just joining us in the program, we're talking about a small modular reactor. This is an SMR that's talked about in the book that we're talking about with Marvin Yoder, who is the author of the book, The Galena Nuclear Project, Pursuing Low-Cost Nuclear Power in Bush, Alaska. Book is available at all Amazon sites, at Barnes & Noble, Page Turner's Bookstore, Chapters Indigo in Canada, Waterstones in the UK, Booktopia in Australia, New Zealand, and a lot more. Also, information on the website, thegalenanuclearproject.com. If you go to our website, you can click on directly and get all the information on the book and what this project entailed in the city of Galena. As people read this book from other parts of the country, and probably people in facing situations similar to what you had in Galena, how can we provide safe, effective, cost-effective electricity, a power for our community? What do you hope the takeaway is?
One of the things that I got feedback on from acquaintances who had read the book was, why hasn't this been done already? And so there's just the potential, and especially in remote areas of the world.
Yes.
We were encouraged early on because Mohamed El-Baradei, who was working with the United Nations, came out with a statement that said, we need 100 of these type around the world for underdeveloped countries. And he wasn't talking specifically about the Toshiba 4S, but just in general, that there's lots of places in the world that really need these. And they're very simple, they're safe, and it would add a lot of health and sanitation and and all kinds of things to those remote areas around the world.
You know, that's an interesting question. And as I was going through this, I had the same question. Why haven't we heard more about this? And why isn't this something that's being tossed out there as a viable alternative? And maybe it is. It may be because we're not connected to that community or areas that need this. It's out there. How common is this?
Well, it's not very common. I mean, we started talking about this in 2003, and really nobody else had. And in fact, it was a few years before the actual term small modular reactors got coined. We didn't know what to call them at first, just small reactors. But then eventually, that kind of caught on. There has been some major conferences regarding that. And in fact, one of the things that is happening right now is that the Utah Power is building a small modular reactor at the Idaho National Lab, and they're going to sell purchase power from that, or build, sell power from that reactor. And this will probably be the first small reactor in the United States, small modular reactor in the United States. And so that's at least a step in the right direction. Other countries have looked at them as well, and there might be some in operation in other countries, but it's something that I believe will eventually move forward.
This evaluation, the book, the evaluation focusing on a small Alaskan town, you touched on applications other than Galena, other cities. Beyond Alaska, what do you see? This sounds like this could be the answer to a lot of problems.
I actually did get telephone calls from people in Africa and so on, and had major conversations with some of them, because they realized that after reading the book that it could fit their situation as well. So it certainly does have other applications. Some of the larger ones, and we were only 10 megawatts that we were looking at, but some of the larger ones certainly have been talked about for mining companies. So there's all kinds of applications for this type of technology.
Obviously, you're promoting your vision. What happened successfully in Galena in your book, The Galena Nuclear Project, Pursuing Low-Cost Nuclear Power in Bush, Alaska, what you just talked about, this really, I'm thinking for undeveloped and underdeveloped areas, communities, this would be perfect, it sounds like. Am I missing something here? It sounds like the answer.
Well, the one thing about it is, you know, a lot of people talk about sustainability, and that's really, you know, when we were pursuing low-cost power, we were talking sustainability, because in Galena, everybody that had cook stoves or water heaters probably had propane. If we could have got the cost of electricity down, we would have changed that. And that was a very big expense that they had to go through. In Galena, of course, being so remote, vegetables were hard to come by. We talked about building greenhouses. The University of Alaska was working with us on that project. They had done a lot of research on even fruit and vegetables from greenhouses. So answered the question of sustainability. How do you come into these small communities and do something that will impact the whole community?
The book is The Galena Nuclear Project, Pursuing Low-Cost Nuclear Power in Bush, Alaska. The effort began, as you mentioned, in Galena in 2003. Talk about what's happened since then. Any innovation since then? And how was this project, how was it received? How was it worked out?
Well, in Galena, it was received fairly well. There are always people that are concerned about nuclear power. Part of the problem was they were looking at the old models, which would interface with the river, and they didn't want to see a bunch of a change in the river temperatures. And of course, this was air cooled, so it didn't interface with the river. There were some people that were still concerned about nuclear, but for the most part, I think that the community was interested. One of our real problems was that the city sold 60% of its power to the Air Force at a forward operating base that was based in Galena. And in the last shutdown in 2005, that base was closed. And so a large part of our demand went away. And so it really kind of, at that point, some of the impetus for it went away.
I mentioned working in administration manager, a city manager for 10 years in Galena. dealing with what city managers deal with, utilities, including water, wastewater, solid waste, electricity. Sounds simple enough for most people. What are the challenges you face there? I would think, boy, you got a challenge with it down, you know, in the 48 states down here, sort of multiply it by what, 9 or 10 for what you have to deal with up there. Nothing was really simple, was it?
No, it's not, because when we run a water system up there, we had to have the water continually circulate through the main lines, come back to the water plant and be reheated before it could go back out or it freeze solid. So that was one of the things. Of course, that's another use for heat. Can you use the heat from a nuclear power plant to do that? We did have another innovative thing that we did with sewer treatment plants. There's a guy in Fairbanks that's building a sewer treatment plant that can work in that cold weather, that puts out the water in a tertiary cleaning, so that the water is pure when it comes out of it. And so we worked on some things like that, but very expensive to work up there and very expensive for some of those units.
And I would think innovation would be the key to what you and other city managers and people who live in Alaska have to do. It's not quite as simple as it is down here. Innovation has to be something up there that really counts, that keeps you moving forward.
Well, it is important, and I think one of the things that kind of got us available to go up there and do what we did is that I didn't come in with a bunch of preconceived ideas. You know, we have energy problems in the U.S., and one group wants to go this way and one group wants to go that way. I've always been a person that said all of the above. When we looked at the situational analysis in Galena, we didn't take anything off the table. Everything was there and everything was evaluated, because no matter what came out best, that's the way we were going to go.
Well, you were able to solve a problem. And what you just said is so important, because you've got so many people, as soon as they hear nuclear, they are against it. It's like, I don't want to go any further with this conversation. You went further with the conversation. It was something that was needed, performed very well. The Galena Nuclear Project is the book. Pursuing Low-Cost Nuclear Power in Bush, Alaska. Marvin Yoder is the guest, the author of the book. Book available at the usual places. You'll find it, of course, at Amazon, BarnesandNoble.com, PageTurner.us, in their bookstore. I know you work with Page Turner on getting the book out there. What was that experience? What is it like working with Page Turner?
I enjoyed working with Page Turner. They seemed knowledgeable and had people that were really able to help me move forward and give me good advice on things to do. It got me connected with somebody like you to help us out.
Well, and I'm so grateful for that, because here's a story that really needs to be told. And because of your book, it's being told and shared worldwide, and so many cities, municipalities like Galena would benefit from getting a copy of the book. And I'm sure if they need to talk with you and to get some behind the scenes, other information, so they can make the right decision. The book is The Galena Nuclear Project, Pursuing Low-Cost Nuclear Power in Bush, Alaska. Marvin Yoder, our guest on the program. Marvin, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much for being with us on the program. A real eye-opener. Thank you.
I really appreciate the opportunity.
It is our pleasure. Marvin Yoder, author of the book, The Galena Nuclear Project, Pursuing Low-Cost Nuclear Power in Bush, Alaska. His website is thegalenanuclearproject.com. You can link on, get all the information, going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. We're back on today's program right after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.